Job 23. Job 23. The text is verses 8 through 10. Job is in the middle of his conversations with his friends, and Job is in the midst of his suffering. Job 23. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge." And I take that to understand, "I will be delivered from the unjust accusations of my friends." We'll see that in the sermon. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." So far we read God's holy and infallible word. Verses 8 through 10 is the text. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, an old year's sermon is meant to give us perspective. An old year's sermon is meant to give us a proper way of looking at things, especially a proper way of looking at the year that has just gone by. Now, we need a proper perspective at the end of every year, but it is perhaps especially important at the end of this year to have a proper perspective on things. Because although this year has certainly had its share of joys and blessings, this year has also had its share of trials and sorrows and heartaches. COVID-19, of course, has been the headline for the past year. We've all seen and heard stories of sickness and death. Sickness and death that has even touched our own families in deep and profound ways. Ways that we were not expecting when we began this year. Besides COVID-19, there were other sorrows that we experienced this year. There were loved ones to whom we had to say goodbye as the Lord took them to himself in glory. There were babies born this past year with health concerns. There were ongoing battles for some of us with depression and anxiety and loneliness or burnout. Some struggled with infertility. Others struggled with singleness. Others struggled with hardships and sorrows in their marriages. There were developments in our churches this past year that are deeply affecting some of our homes and families. And no doubt there were countless other things as well that we went through this year. And all of these things had their effects on us. All these things fall on us like one weight on top of another. We look at all these things and the questions start to arise in our minds, questions that have to do with our perspective on everything. And probably the question that rises to the top is this: why? Why did all these things have to happen? Why did it have to happen just this way? And I had to go through just that kind of experience. I had these experiences too. Why does it have to be this way? Ultimately, because we know that God is directing all things, the question really boils down to this: what was God doing? What was God doing in the things of this past year? Why is he doing the things that he's doing? Why did God take that loved one away to glory? What was God doing here? Why did we lose so much work this past year? What is God doing there? And perhaps the question is not just what was God doing, but perhaps the question is still being asked in the present tense. What is God doing right now? The events that took place in 2020 continue to have an effect. They continue to mold and shape our lives in very deep ways. Right now, looking back on everything I've gone through, looking where I am right now, looking forward to what awaits me, us, in 2021, what is God doing? Well, that's a good question to ask. It needs to be asked in the right way. But when it's asked in the right way, it's a good question to ask, because when you get to the answer is going to help you shape your perspective, your outlook on the things you went through. That's what we want to do tonight. We want to gain perspective. And we're going to use Job and what Job experienced to help us gain proper perspective on what we went through this past year. We take as our theme, what is God doing? What is God doing? Or what was God doing? We look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at Job's struggle, verses 8 and 9 of the text. Then second, we look at Job's comfort, the first part of verse 10. And then third, Job's confidence, the second part of verse 10. In the passage, Job was struggling, profoundly struggling. In order to understand Job's struggle, we first need to be reminded of who Job was and what Job was going through. Job, we know, even the children know, was a very godly man. Job was not a man who was walking in sin. Job, instead, was an example to all of us of godliness. The very first verse of the book tells us that Job was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. But Job was a man whose path in life had suddenly turned into a very difficult and dark way. As we know, calamities fell upon Job in rapid succession. In one day, Job lost all his animals, nearly all his servants. He lost all his wealth, and he, the richest man in the East, was reduced to nothing. Then, on the exact same day, all 10 of his children died. Then, soon after that, Job suddenly fell sick with a devastating sickness brought on by the devil, so that boils covered his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, and Job is racked with intense pain all over his body. Then, in response, Job's own wife tells him to curse God and die. He doesn't even have the support of his wife. And then soon thereafter, Job's friends come to visit him. And you can imagine that Job must have been expecting to be comforted and encouraged by his friends. Here are some people who are going to sympathize with me finally in my afflictions. However, instead of showing him sympathy, Job's friends accuse Job of sin. Job, what did you do to deserve this? Don't you know, Job, that God is just and God wouldn't make you suffer all these afflictions if there wasn't some reason behind it? Some sin in your life? The reason you are suffering like this, Job, is because you have some secret unconfessed sin. And Job's friends, who had never known Job to sin before, are now flinging all kinds of devastating accusations at Job. In fact, you go back one chapter to Job 22 and verse 5, you see just how brutally Job's friends were treating him. In chapter 22, verse 5, Eliphaz says this, "Is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite?" And then he goes on to give some suggestions as to how Job had so grievously sinned against the Lord. Later on in chapter 22, Eliphaz tells Job to get acquainted with God's ways. Get reacquainted with God's ways, Job's way. With God's ways, Job. Repent, Job. We might say, who needs enemies when you have friends like Job's? And there is Job in the dust, struggling, deeply struggling. This is where we find Job in chapter 23. He is struggling. But we should ask, more precisely, with what is Job struggling? What was Job's struggle exactly? Well, it's interesting because it's not so much all these calamities that have fallen upon Job. Job isn't sobbing inconsolably over the death of his children. Job isn't struggling because of the excruciating waves of pain that are convulsing his body. Now, all these things are real, and Job is no different than you and me. Job is certainly grieving over these things, yet there's something even bigger Job is struggling with. Job is struggling in his relationship with the Lord. Job is struggling in his relationship with the Lord. And yet here too we need a word of explanation, because Job is not struggling to believe that God exists. Job is not in danger of becoming an atheist. Job knows full well that God is. That's clear from the way he talks. Neither is Job struggling with the reality that God is sovereign over all these things that have happened in Job's life. Job knows that all these things that have befallen him at the hand of the Lord. He says that in the very first chapter, the Lord gave, and it's the Lord who took these things away. Neither is Job struggling with the fact that God will, in the end, work all these things together for good. Job knows that. Job says in verse 10 that God is going to use all these things to refine Job and to strengthen Job. Job knows that. There's something more, something else that Job is struggling with. What Job is struggling with is this. Job can't see God in his present circumstances. Job can't find God. What I mean is that in the moment, God feels to be very, very far away from Job. Job wants to approach God. Job wants to bring his case before God, because Job's friends are making devastating accusations against him. Job's friends are telling him how such a horrible sinner he is. But Job's friends don't know anything. And so Job wants to talk to God instead, because God knows the truth. God knows that Job has been living a righteous life. And Job is confident that if only he could appear before God, God would speak in defense of Job and make things right. Yet as we read in verses 8 and 9, God is nowhere to be found. Notice the language of verses 8 and 9. "Behold, I go forward. I look to God in front of me, but he's not there. I go backward, I look behind me, he's not there either. I look to the left where he works, he's gone. I look to the right, he's gone. Where's God? He's gone." Job wants to speak to God. He wants God to shed light on the situation, but God is not to be found. Job cannot find God. And to go a little bit deeper, Job's struggle ultimately is this. Job doesn't understand what God is doing right now. That's really at the heart of what Job means when he says he can't find God. Job doesn't understand what God is doing with him right now, at least not in the details. The reality, as Job understands it, is this. God deals with his people after a certain pattern. God deals with his people according to their works, as they are made his people in Christ. God, and even the wicked. God rewards the righteous. God punishes the evildoer. That's how God works. That's how God has revealed himself. But as soon as Job looks at what his life has become, he sees that his life has been reduced to nothing. He sees that God is dealing with him as if he is a wicked person indeed. And Job understands why his friends have come to the conclusion that they've come to. He understands that. And yet Job knows he is a righteous man. And so Job is saying here in these circumstances, God is not revealing himself. Why is God being silent when I go through such a time of agony? You would think at such a time as this, when Job is in the midst of such suffering, that God would appear to Job and encourage him and vindicate him. Now God is going to do that later on in the chapter, but not now, not yet. Right now, God is gone. He's out of the picture, as it were. He is silent in the midst of Job's agony. And Job is saying, I can't make sense of why God is dealing with me this way. If only I could find God, then we could talk. Then maybe God could shed light on the situation and what's going on. We know what's going on. God and Satan and what happened in the first chapter. Job doesn't know any of that. Job's just experiencing all this suffering. Then God could explain things to me. And then not only would my so-called friends know that I'm a righteous man, but then I too might understand why this is happening. Because right now I don't understand. And that's Job's struggle. Job doesn't understand what God is doing. He doesn't understand how the death of all 10 of his children in one day, and the loss of all his riches, and the sickness that's ransacking his body, is somehow all supposed to be working together for Job's good. He doesn't understand that. He doesn't understand how the constant accusations of his cruel friends are somehow supposed to be working together for his good. He doesn't understand how all this suffering and pain is supposed to fit together like all the pieces in a puzzle for his good. Yes, he understands that God works all things together for good. He knows that. But here in these details and what he's going through right now, nothing makes sense. Beloved, do you understand what Job is going through? Have you too experienced something like that? It can be a rather unsettling experience, can it? You look at your trial. Maybe you have bad news. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe you're battling with depression or anxiety. Whatever it is, you just wonder why. Why do I have to go through this? Why do I have to continually battle this? Why does it have to be this way? It doesn't make sense. It's like my life is slipping away, and I want to serve God in strength and power and beauty, and yet here I am in weakness and poverty and struggling. Why does my life have to turn out like this? You look at division in your family. Maybe a child is walking in grievous sin, and it's bringing shame upon the family, bringing heartache upon you, and you wonder why. What purpose is this serving? I don't see how this is working together for the good of God's people. You look at your life and you can see hurdles and the difficulties that are coming in your own future. Even tonight you see the future and you say to yourself, why am I going to have to go through that? It just seems so senseless. And then suddenly it feels as if God is far from you. Where did God go? Because, if I may put it this way, in earthly language, God, who is so reliable, suddenly feels like he's not reliable. We know God does all things perfectly, and to me it would seem as if this would be the way God would do it. But instead of doing it this way, God is choosing to do it a completely different way. And that's unsettling. God is doing something that I can't give any explanation for. And sometimes he leads us through a trial and he doesn't give any explanation for it. And we think that an explanation would be helpful, that some kind of explanation would be good for us. And we know God doesn't owe us an explanation, but we think it would be helpful, and yet there is no explanation, not as far as we can tell. And you just have to persist through the valley and through the trial, and you're at a loss for what to say. We don't know how to respond. That was Job's struggle. He couldn't make sense of the path that he had to walk. Maybe we look back on the year 2020 and say, there were certain moments that didn't make any sense to me. Why did it have to go that way? What was God doing there? I just don't understand. These are very real experiences, beloved. This was Job's struggle. It's a very real struggle. Job doesn't understand what God is doing. Yet in the midst of that experience, how does Job ultimately respond? We see in verse 10 that in the midst of Job's struggles, Job also has comfort. Because in the midst of all his struggles, Job says, I don't understand what God is doing. I don't know. But he knows. God knows what he is doing. In verse 10, Job says, but he knows the way that I take. That's Job's comfort. That's the exercise of Job's faith. He knoweth the way that I take. I don't know the way that I'm taking. I don't know what is God doing. But really, what does that matter when God knows? God knows. I know that he knows what he is doing. Job has comfort there. These words at the beginning of verse 10 can be understood from a few different points of view, and really, all of them add richness and depth to what Job says here in verse 10. He knoweth the way that I take. First, when Job says, God knoweth the way that I take, Job means it in this sense. God is the one who has marked out my way in life in his eternal decree. This is the way of life God has appointed for me as his elect child. That was Job's comfort. Nothing here in my circumstance is happening by accident. God is the sovereign God, and all these things that have befallen me according to the eternal decree of God. Even in chapter 1, where Satan and God are conversing, Job doesn't know about that. But even that doesn't escape God's eternal decree. That's part of God's decree being worked out in history. Notice what Job says a little bit later in verse 14. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. What Job is emphasizing there is that this is what God has appointed for him. Everything that has happened to him has happened according to the sovereign will of God. God, Jehovah, who is his Father, who loves him and who cares for him. That's comforting. I don't know what God's doing, but ultimately that doesn't matter because God knows what he's doing. And that's what matters. He knows every step along the way of life that I must take. God knows what he is doing. Second, when Job says, but God knoweth the way that I take, Job means it in this way. God knows that the way Job has been walking is a righteous way. That is, God knows that Job has not been walking in the way of sin as his friends have alleged. My friends accuse me of gross sin, but God knows the path that I take. In verses 11 and 12, Job goes on to emphasize this point. Maybe this is really the main way in which Job says it in verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. In verse 11, he says, "My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." By the way, as a tangent, how important it is for us in our struggles, how important and valuable it is for us to be walking a path of holiness and righteousness, so that when the struggles do come, we can act that way. What compounds our struggles so often is that so often we know it's because of what I have done in my sin. Now, we know no one's perfect. Even Job knew he wasn't perfect. He knew he needed a redeemer. But this is not because of any particular sin I can point to. That's not why it's happening. Job says, "God knows that the way I've been living has been godly and not sinful." And Job is saying, even though I am walking this path of trial and difficulty, God knows what he is doing. He knows I have been walking in holiness, and he knows what he is doing when he chooses still to send affliction and sorrow my way, even though I have been walking in the integrity of my heart. God knows what he is doing. Then third, when Job says, "But God knoweth the way that I take," Job means it also in this sense. God is always looking upon my path in life with care and love and tenderness. And we get that from the word "know." Implied in that word "know," God knoweth, is the very fact that God is paying attention to Job. God is concerned for Job. God is the good shepherd. We sang it from Psalm 77, who carefully tends to the pathway that his sheep have to walk. Just as a faithful shepherd knows the pathway that his sheep walk, so God knows the pathway of life for each of his people, because God cares for them. He gives them his undivided attention. Just as a refiner needs to know exactly how to heat up a fire in order to purify the gold and burn off all the impurities, just as a refiner needs to have that knowledge of how to purify gold so that it comes out perfectly, just so, Job says, God knows exactly how to lead me through these sufferings and sorrows of life. He says, "My life is safe in the hands of the Lord." He knows exactly the path I'm on, and he knows exactly how to guide me and exactly when to deliver me out of these sorrows. He seems far off. I don't understand what he's doing, but he is dealing with me in love. He knows what he is doing. That's Job's comfort. And then fourth and finally, we can also say this. This is all part of what Job is saying in verse 10. It's very rich. When Job says, "He knoweth the way that I take," Job also means it in this sense. God knows what I am feeling right now, in my heart, with my grief and my sorrow. He knows the way that I take, in the sense that he himself understands these sorrows and griefs and questions and doubts in my heart. And this is where we can bring Jesus Christ very beautifully into the preaching this evening. God knows the way that I take. God knows the way that you take, because in Jesus Christ, God himself has walked the way that we take. In fact, in Jesus Christ, God has walked for us that way of suffering and humiliation that we deserve to walk on account of our sins. And yet God exactly has spared us from that way of suffering, by himself coming in our flesh to walk that way for us. What did Jesus experience on the cross of Calvary? Truly, as Jesus was hanging on the cross during the 3 hours of darkness, Jesus experienced exactly what Job is talking about in verses 8 and 9, except infinitely deeper. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. That was the reality for Jesus. In fact, those words were true for Jesus in a way that they were not true for Job. Because Jesus endured the agonies of hell on the cross exactly so that Job might be spared that pathway of life, that pathway that led to hell. That's the good news for all who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus humbled himself unto the deepest reproaches and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, in order that you and I might be accepted of God and never be forsaken. And yet, as true as that reality is, the reality is also this: because Jesus went that way of the cross, Jesus is also able to identify with us and empathize with us and understand us in all our sufferings. Jesus knows the way that we take, in the sense that he perfectly understands our struggles and pains. Hebrews 4 verse 15 puts it this way: "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." We do have a high priest who can be and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, who struggled just like we do, yet without sin. The point is, when God touches his people with afflictions, whatever those afflictions are, God knows exactly what he is doing. Beloved, do you see how comforting all of this is for us? What did your pathway look like in 2020? What is your pathway going to look like in 2021? What does your pathway look like right now? You can be assured of this: God knows what he is doing. You don't know what God is doing. You often wonder, and that's a source of perplexity and discouragement. Know this: God knows exactly what he is doing, and God knows exactly the way that you take. All that you went through in the year 2020, it was according to God's eternal decree, that same decree according to which he chose you in Christ in order that he might bless you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All that you went through in the year 2020, none of it was an accident. All that you went through in the year 2020, God was leading you in love. He's a faithful shepherd. He knew what he was doing. Like Job, you may not understand how all the pieces yet fit together. But like Job, you also need to know this: God knows you in Jesus Christ. He knows who you are as his precious blood-bought child. And with his perfect wisdom, he knows exactly how to lead you and exactly what this year needed to look like for you. God loves you and cares for you even when the path seems the darkest. And God understands your sorrow and your pain. He understands it perfectly. He is intimately acquainted with all our ways. And he is the God who has compassion. This is a striking thought. This gives us perspective, doesn't it? The very reason he led you down the pathway that you went through this past year was because he loves you. He loves you so much, that's why your life is what it is at the end of this year. Again, that might not make sense to you. That might not make perfect sense to you. It might not make perfect sense to you when you look all around you and you see all kinds of reasons of soul for sorrow and disappointment and heartache. It didn't make sense to Job either. But that doesn't matter. That didn't matter. In the end, it ultimately doesn't need to make sense to us. Who are we? What God does isn't going to make sense to us anyway. He's so perfect in all his thoughts. And we're so finite. God knows the way that we take. That was Job's comfort. And that is our comfort at the end of this year and at the beginning of another year. God knows what he is doing. Well, not only did Job have comfort, he knoweth the way that I take. Job, in the midst of his struggle, even had confidence. This is the beauty of Job's faith. As he puts it at the end of verse 10, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Job has confidence. And Job is being very bold there in the last part of chapter 10, of verse 10. What does that mean? When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, first of all, what it means is this. God is not trying to destroy me. Let's get that straight. God is not punishing me. I might not know what he is doing, but this I do know. God knows what he's doing. That's my comfort. And God means it for good. That's the confidence. He's not trying to destroy me. And then second, what it means is this. Rather than destroying me, God actually means it to test me and to refine me and cause me to grow and be more beautiful for his glory. That's the figure that Job uses, refining gold. When gold is mined and collected, really, though, if you would, you could Google videos on how gold is refined and compare it to, because there are many passages in the Bible that speak of refining gold and silver, silver being refined seven times over, the psalmist says, fiery trials that try our faith, that's more precious than gold. When gold is mined and collected, it needs to be thrown in the fire. And then it needs to be very carefully heated. And what I've read is that it needs to be heated at all different kinds of temperatures in order to burn off all the impurities. The gold is melted, it's liquefied, and then the impurities are either burned off or they rise to the top at the right temperature, and then you can blow the impurities off or scrape them off and dump them so that eventually all that's left is pure gold. The process is a rather delicate process. It requires all the attention of the refiner. Just like God says in Malachi 3, I'm going to sit and refine you. Because that's what it takes. It takes the refiner to sit there and keep an eye every second of refining gold. And Job is saying, that's what God's doing with me. God is putting me through the fires of affliction. And Job is saying, this one thing I am confident of, that by God's grace, I will continue down the path of righteousness, so that when I come out of the fire, I will come out as pure gold. Now, Job is saying two things. First, Job is expressing his own resolve and determination to stay the course and to keep walking in the path of righteousness. He says, I have been walking the path of righteousness. God knows I have been taking that path. And when he has tried me, I will come forth as the real thing, pure gold. So that's very bold on Job's part, but he's confident. And then second, what Job is saying is that he is confident, and this is really underlying everything, he is confident in the gracious, preserving work of God. That God will maintain him, God will preserve him, and God will continue that work in Job that he has begun. God will perfect that which concerns me, Job says. I am his child. He will not cast me away. Rather, all these struggles, all these afflictions, all that I've gone through in this past year, in the end, are a blessing to me, to lead me and to guide me all the way to glory, where I will be as pure gold. That's Job's confidence. Even in the midst of his darkest suffering and pain. That's amazing. And that's our confidence as well at the end of the year 2020. Belonging to Jesus Christ. And as I wrote this, I thought this would be perfect for Lord's Day 1. Really. belonging to Jesus Christ, we know that God's purpose with our trials are not to destroy us. Belonging to Jesus Christ, we know that God, in fact, has good in store for us. Our afflictions are, in fact, working for us a far more exceeding and weighty, weight of glory. Belonging to Jesus Christ, we can receive everything from God's hand with thanksgiving, knowing that God's purpose in all these things is to further nurture us as His children and make us more like Him and reflect His beauty and ultimately bring us to the place of glory, where we will be like Him in glory, bearing His image perfectly. And that's our confidence. And that needs to be our perspective as we look back on the year 2020. At the end of the day, we may look back at the year 2020 and all kinds of questions flood our minds. This seemed too hard for me. That was painful for me. I regret that I ever did that. Why did this have to happen? Why did we have to go through an experience like that? But at the end of the day, our ultimate conclusion needs to be, while I may not understand everything that happened in this past year, this much is true. God understands. God understood what He was doing. And at the end of the day, we must also say, what God was doing was this. He was leading me. I didn't see it. Maybe it still doesn't make sense to me, but He was leading me. He was testing me. He was refining me. He was showing me my sin and where I needed to change, perhaps. He was showing me where I was weak in faith and where I needed to grip His promises even tighter. And He was protecting me. That's what He was doing. He was doing me good. He is faithful. And you see that in the life of Job too, don't you? God never actually explained anything to Job, did He? About why Job went through it. God never gave Job a reason for why Job had to suffer. But what God did show Job was His glory and the fact that God is merciful and God is faithful to His people. He is God. There is no even questioning Him. He is God. And that's our place. That we acknowledge Him as God in our life, no matter what He puts His people through. Because God is for His people, and He does do it all for their good. And He does it all for His own glory, besides. Well, what is God doing, beloved? We're at the end of another year, at the beginning of another year. What is God doing? I don't know everything that God is doing. This much I do know. Right here in this place, right here in our homes and our families, right here in your own personal life, God is making gold. God is at work making gold. One day there's going to be a fire. And that fire is going to consume everything that is made of hay and straw and wood and stubble. And the only thing left is that which is made of gold and silver and precious stones. Why does God deal with you in your life the way that He does? Because God wants to make gold out of you. And He is refining us so that more and more in our lives, all of what is of Christ remains, and all that is of self perishes and burns away. We may not understand the process. We may not understand why the temperature has to be quite this hot right now. But God does. God knows what He's doing. God is preparing us for life in the golden city. We looked at it a few weeks ago. Jerusalem, the golden. And God is refining us and bringing us into a closer experience and understanding even of what that life is going to look like. And a closer experience of His friendship and love. That's the reality that's ours in Jesus Christ. That's what we must know. So when you look back on the year 2020, even when you look ahead on the year 2021, even when you look ahead at the rest of your life, maybe there's that trial and that struggle, you know that's going to be there for the rest of your life. And you struggle to make sense of the trials of life. Then may the perspective of Job, what he knew by faith, be your perspective and what you can cling to by faith. He knows the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, thou art the master craftsman. Thou art the glorious refiner. And we are thy workmanship. We know we are safe in thy hands. Strengthen us to know that in the everyday sorrows and trials of life. We pray that we too might be jealous of thy glory. And we too might be jealous to maintain the path of holiness and righteousness. That we might come forth as gold to the praise of our Maker and Redeemer. So give us perspective on this past year. Help us to look at it in a way that shows our confidence and trust in thee, and also gives us a hope in and confidence in thy goodness and thy faithfulness. So apply this word to our hearts. And now dismiss us with thy blessing. And we pray, bring us again tomorrow morning to thy house, that we might begin another year with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.